It just turned out to be a lie.
Well, I know about that, but I should qualify. When I said I'm not keeping up to date, it's been about a week. I've heard you talk about that. Now, are you on shortwave or not?
No. I told WWCR that I would not give my business to someone who lied and manipulated and made me all those promises and had no intention of keeping those promises.
I support you 100% on that.
I will not pay their salaries. I will not give them money. I will not help them make a profit. And besides that, I found out that they're ripping off an awful lot of people. My friend Michael Cottingham, who got a show on Saturday night on WWCR, they ripped him off for $165 for a half-hour show. And that's so far out of the ballpark, it's pathetic. They just took advantage of him because he didn't know anything about radio. And unfortunately, he failed to call me and ask me what a good ballpark figure would be to negotiate with. And they were just ripping people off all over the place. But now they're reaping the rewards of their insincerity and their lies and their manipulations. Because they're having trouble finding good program for these time slots, and what they've got there are the same old rumor mongers and bullshit artists.
Yeah, well, I can't dispute that. What I called basically was not to contribute a whole lot, except to offer a suggestion, and I'm sure that you're certainly capable of thinking of this on your own. You know, you're trying to conduct a survey. Seems to me it's very expedient and convenient for most of us. Well, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of us, if you would do your correspondence, unless you have a particular reason for not doing it, via a email thing or something over the internet.
No, 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 no.
You're not going to do
no,
that.
No, have you ever got 2,000 email messages? Have you ever?
Well, what about post?
No, no, answer me. Have you ever got...
I have, but...
Huh?
Certainly not.
Of course not. If you had, you would never have made that statement.
Well, but if you're tallying up statistics...
Are you telling me you're too lazy to get a postcard and send it to me?
Oh, probably. You know, a lot... Well, I mean, I'm not saying that, but you know how complacent people...
You want us to succeed?
Yeah.
Then you got to go get a postcard and send it to me.
Stuff. I never get any feedback. Of course, not that I need to have any feedback, but I've mailed you videotapes and I've sent you money.
Well, so what?
Well,
so have thousands of other people.
I know it. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm just saying I'm not that lazy. Anyway, maybe somebody will call in with something to contribute. I apologize for not really having a lot to contribute. It was a suggestion.
Well, you may have contributed without knowing it.
Well, you know what I'm thinking is there are ways to do automated tabulation with I don't have the right terms, but emails that are automatically replied to.
Believe it or not, most people in this radio audience do not have a computer.
Oh, you think? Maybe.
I know it. I know it from computer sales. I know it from the demographics of the age group of this radio listening audience. I know it from the number of computer sales each year and who, what age group buys those computers. I know it because of the resistance of older Americans to change. To learn a computer, not that many of them haven't, because many of them have, me included, but it's usually out of necessity, not out of desire.
Well, I think there's a fairly large audience now, or there's a developing audience on the internet with the Real Audio, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I know there's quite a few talk shows I listen to on Real Audio.
Well, we're gonna investigate that. I'm not gonna promise anything because I don't have any time to administer it or take care of it. If somebody else wants to volunteer to do that on a web page or something, then I'd like to hear from them.
Yeah, it's in its infancy. It's not the most mature technology yet. It's got its faults, but sometimes, I mean, it's certainly technically feasible. It works. The audio quality can be quite good. The understanding that I have, which is fairly limited, is that during peak listening hours, the system gets so bogged down that there can be quite a lot of distortion, and it's like listening to a bad shortwave broadcast with lots of interference and crackling.
Well, that's true. And if you're going to one source for one broadcast, yes, that can happen. But if you have, if it's a, an extremely popular broadcast and you have like several websites where you can go and listen to it instead of just one, then that's less likely to happen.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of my understanding. Well, anyway, I listen to you a lot, not every day, but a whole bunch. Been listening to you for years, have many of your tapes, and keep up the good work. And I hope things pan out. I'm kind of sweating it. And yeah, I'll invest in a postcard.
Good. Good for you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See ya.
And, you know, it's not just me that you should be wishing good luck. I mean, you know, this is a service to the American people, to freedom, not just for people in this country, but for the world, for the entire world. And I realize, let me tell you why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this to be of great service to you. I don't even know you. I hope maybe I can know you someday and we can be friends. I'm doing it because I know my family cannot live in freedom and oppose this enemy alone. And so I have to wake you up, and I have to educate you, and I have to get you on my side to fight this battle to save my family. Do you understand that? And you have to do it for the same reasons. And that's why, instead of thinking for excuses why you can't do something, you should be thinking of all of the reasons why you can and go do it. You see, I'm no different than any of you. Myself and my family have just made a commitment. We've drawn the line in the sand, and we have done it. And we don't sit around. There's a rule in my house. We don't accept excuses. We don't listen to why we can't. We don't even acknowledge that word can't. We trust in God, and we just do it. That's what I would advise all of you to learn to do. It is so easy to think of every reason in the world why you can't do something, or why it can't be done, or why you don't have the brains or the knowledge or whatever, or the tools. No. What you do is say, hey, I need to do this. What tools do I need? If I don't have them, where can I get them? How can I get them? And let's get it done, and let's do it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
This is Dale from Indiana.
Hi, Dale.
I'm one of your listeners. I don't have a computer.
Well, I know most people that listen to this broadcast don't have a computer. I know that already.
Yeah, I'm a computer programmer even at one point, and I don't have one. I figure there for processing information, and the amount of information I have to process doesn't require a computer.
Well, there are for a lot of other things, too. But, you know, it depends upon your individual needs as to whether you need or want a computer or want to mess with it. If you're a computer programmer, then the reason you don't have one is certainly not the reason most people don't have one. They don't have one because they're afraid of computers and learning how to do it and change and the expense involved and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I might have to have a suggestion for that lady who doesn't like what she's seeing on her TV screen.
Yeah.
Might be able to consult her owner's manual for her satellite receiver. A lot of times you can invert the video picture.
What do you mean invert it? You mean
Well, there will be a place in the manual where we'll talk about that. It's called inverted video.
You mean turn it upside down?
Yeah, and when it does that, it'll disappear most times.
Really?
But the audio, most of the time, will remain.
Really?
Yeah, so she might be able to at least get a blank screen.
Well, that's interesting. It's kind of hard to sit and watch a blank screen on TV, too. Because it just doesn't look right. It strikes you wrong. But I got to tell you, if that picture really does invert and they can still see it, and they sit there and watch it while they're listening upside down, eventually the brain will handle that. The brain will turn it right side up inside the brain.
Huh.
Yeah, that's a fact. The mind does crazy things, but it will make it right. Try it sometime.
Well,
if you don't.
Well, I'm on here. I'm going to invert. Where I have done it before was with, scrambled programming on an ANAC band when I was listening to subcarriers.
Uh-huh.
And it kept flashing in on me.
Yeah, those are those Canadian channels, right?
Right.
Canadian satellites?
Yeah. And it kept flashing, picture would come on.
Uh-huh.
And it would irritate me, and then it'd go off, come on, go off, come on.
Yeah, well, they scramble their channels so we can't watch their satellites down here.
Right, they've gone almost all digital now.
Yeah. They don't want us to see what's going on up there.
Okay. Now, I have a Chaparral Monterey, and I just inverted my picture. The picture completely disappeared. I have a blank screen, but I still have your audio.
Uh-huh.
So she might be able to try that.
Well, good.
And unless she doesn't like the completely blank screen,
uh-huh.
I sometimes get a kick out of what's going on behind. So what do you make of the thing in Iraq?
Well, you know,
do you think they're
the American people
jumping from the 32nd to the 33rd parallel?
No, the American people traditionally look at a president as being more presidential and more to their liking if he is powerful and strong and does something militarily. And, you know, that's always been that way.
Yeah, I figure it's pretty much election.
It's really stupid, but,
yeah.
But that's the way it is. Oh, he is strong, he's powerful, he's not afraid to use the military. I'm going to vote for him. Yes, sir, he's got my vote. By golly, I'm an American, I'm a patriot. Look what he did to those Iraqis. Oh, boy, I wish I was over there. I'd show him what for. And he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah, but especially watching them dance around trying to...
Yeah, and it's all about a civil war.
Security interest.
Yeah, it's all about a civil war. Those Kurds are rebelling against the lawful government of Iraq. Whether we like that government or not, it's none of our business. It is none of our business. And Saddam Hussein is the lawful government of Iraq. Whether we like him, whether we want him, whether we care about him or not, it's a civil war. We have no business there any more than we had in Vietnam or a lot of other places that we went and fought.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'll give him credit for one thing. If you're going to pick a president to play with, we got the perfect one.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to take our break.
All righty.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I hope that lady gives that a try. A blank screen is perhaps preferable to you harder.
What do you want to bet she can't find her manual?
That's a good possibility.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks.
Listening to the Hour of the Time on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. This program, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They are the bankers for all of us who need real money, because you can't get it. You can't get it as what you think is a real bank. You got to go to somebody like Swiss America Trading. And, well, that's not really true. I mean, you can go to what you think is a real bank, a Federal Reserve Bank, and you can arrange to purchase Krugerrands and all that kind of stuff. But guess what? Every transaction is recorded. I don't care how little or how much you buy. But if you go to Swiss America Trading, it's non-confiscatable, non-reportable, as long as you stay within the parameters of that guideline. You see, you all think you're getting away with something when you go to one of these cheapy firms and you buy gold at 1% above spot or 1% above cost. Guess what? It's reported. Every single purchase is reported. It must be by law, because the law says the only non-reportable, non-confiscatable transactions are those that involve the purchase of gold or silver coin that has a 15% premium added on above the value of the gold or the silver in the coin. You didn't know that, did you? You think you're getting a deal. Nope. You're getting recorded is what you're getting. and you're not getting a deal. You don't have a buyback policy. There's no guarantee, nothing. I bet I woke a couple of you up just now, didn't I? 1-800-289-2646. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time, and thank them for backing the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Ask them for the latest newsletter. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. Ask them how you can make a transaction without it being reported to anybody. A non-confiscatable, non-reportable transaction of real money. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You know how you are. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Down in Akron, Ohio.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm great. You know, tonight was the first night in the history of this broadcast that I opened the phones and there was no calls on the board.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel bad for you.
Oh, you don't have to feel bad for me. I'll just cut off the last hour if it continues. And I'll feel better, and so will my family.
And have that happen. I won't have anybody to listen to that tells me the truth.
Well, there are some people out there that tell the truth, but there are just not too many.
That's why I'm calling, because I was listening to one guy that's historic for spreading misinformation and BS the other night, Mark Kornke.
Yeah.
And he came up with this thing about what's going on in Australia. I guess they're having some big gun grab down there where UN forces and their own government is doing house-to-house searches.
Total bullshit. It's a total lie, I can tell you right now. We have intelligence service members in Australia. We broke the story about the law banning all the guns in Australia in Veritas. Nobody in this country heard of it until we printed it and until we announced it on the air on the Hour of the Time. And we are in contact with our people down there all the time. And there are no house-to-house searches by anybody, not even the regular Australian authorities. There are no UN police force troops down there.
Well, I was aware.
Mark Kornke is a barefaced liar, has been for years. He first contacted me way back in, I think it was 1989. He told me that he was an active duty officer with the Air Force Office of Special Investigation and that he wanted to feed me information. Well, I knew right off the bat, because I'd been with the Office of Naval Intelligence, that there were no leaks, that this guy was up to no good. So we asked him to document his identity and prove to us who he was and document his information. He said, oh, sure, I'll be happy to do all that. We never heard from him again until we saw a tape where he said that he was an Army G2 intelligence officer and started telling the world about all this baloney, and that there were, you know, I'm not even going to go into it because it's so ridiculous.
I know, and that's the reason I called you about it, though, Bill, because, you know, I know a lot of your listeners might listen to him and they don't really know any better, and I read that in Veritas. That,
yeah, supreme bullshit artist.
He's a big time, and the misinformation that you get on, well, on WWCR in general by a lot of those guys is just unbelievable.
Well, you know, I still mandate that you should listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing unless you can prove it. The problem is most people won't adhere to that. They listen to something, if it strikes their fancy, they just go around repeating it as if it's fact. And that can't happen. That will lead us right down the road. In fact, that's how we got where we're at, by stupidity.
Bill, I've read more than two books in my life, but I've read the two books in my life that have most, like, made a kind of a change in me throughout the years. The first one, when I was in high school, was A Catcher in the Rye.
Uh-huh.
I think you know the obvious behind that.
Sure.
Second one was 2 years ago when I read Behold a Pale Horse. Because I read everything that coincided with what you hear in the Patriot movement and everything, except you're the only guy that I've that I've ever come across that actually had things documented. And the documentation that you had in that book was tremendous.
Well, that's the... Uh-oh, did you hear that?
What was that?
I think the CD just crashed again. Did you hear that loud crash thunk?
I kind of heard something while I was talking, yeah.
All I did was try to cue up the closing music so I don't have to do it at the end of the hour.
Uh-huh.
And there was this tremendous, it was like somebody hit it with a hammer, only nobody touched it. So I don't know if it's going to play at the end of the hour or not.
Oh, if not, you can sing it.
I didn't have time. We have a new CD player. I just didn't have time today to get it in the studio and hook it up. So I'm still working with the bombshell from last night. We go through these things about once every 6 to 8 months, we wear one out.
You don't use a cart?
Pardon?
You don't use carts?
No. All that real radio stuff is so expensive, we can't afford it.
Oh. Okay.
It's cheaper to go through 4 CD players in a year than one cart. So anyway, and all the real radio type stuff. You see, this is a patched together studio that a lot of it was purchased by us. Some of it was donated by Paul Story. Some of it by Ron that donated the microphone. These really fantastic microphones that I am so thankful for him and for these microphones. There's no way I couldn't even afford to look at this microphone. It's incredible.
That's great. Bill, don't give up that second hour. I promise I'll be a regular caller if you stay on.
Well, good. As long as I get calls in the second hour, because that's what it's for. The first hour is to impart information. The second hour is to talk.
Right.
And if nobody's going to call during the second hour, then there's no reason to have a second hour.
Plus, you know, me living on the East Coast here in Ohio, well, if you want to call Ohio the East Coast, I don't know. But, you know, before when you were on at midnight our time.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times I couldn't stay up that late because of my work schedule, but hey, 10 to midnight, I can catch you every night now. So I really like your new time, even though I wish you were on shortwave as well.
That's great. You know what everybody should do to try to expand this audience? You should be calling every talk show in the world, radio, satellite, it doesn't matter, and just tell everybody, you know, how they can listen to this broadcast.
Right.
And, you know, you might get hung up on a couple of times, but... some people are going to catch on and are going to understand that, hey, this is the place to be listening. Especially if you tell them that this is the broadcast that President Clinton named in a White House memo, which Rush Limbaugh read over the air as the most dangerous radio host in America.
Holy cow, you mean I got the feds listening to me tonight?
Yeah, they listen to me every single night. You better believe it. I am not only that... but there are a lot of military personnel who not only listen to this broadcast, but rebroadcast it to other military personnel around the world who are loyal, patriotic Americans. God bless each and every one of them.
You know what? The sheeple that I work with and live with up here in Ohio, their idea of a radical talk show host is Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh is a little pussycat.
Compared to the guys on shortwave and yourself, basically, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's a little pussycat, curled up in some little girl's lap on a sunny afternoon in the backyard. And pretty soon this rabbit's going to run by with this big pocket watch yelling, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. And he's going to go down a hole.
Hey, Bill, let me get some real callers on. I'll let you go.
Okay, well, you were a real caller. I enjoyed your call. Thank you.
Much.
520-333-4578 is the number. He was a real caller. That was a good call. I enjoyed that call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yes. Turn off your radio or your satellite or whatever. Turn it down.
Satellite.
Yeah.
You requested a postcard be sent to you. Did you give the address that you wanted that sent to?
You just sent it to Harvest, P.O. Box 1970,
uh-huh.
Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. And I'll repeat that again toward the end of the broadcast. Yeah, that's a good idea. People need to know where to write it. Yeah, I need to know. It's really important, folks. We have to have a starting point to judge how successful we are as we grow as a network. And as we try to build this thing that we want to build, and if we don't have any numbers to begin with, we're lost. We have no idea if we're being successful or if we're wasting our time or if we need to do it differently or what. You know, it's just important that you help us out.
One other thing, dialing in, I got, for the first time in my entire life, all the long-distance lines are busy. That's a possibility these days, is that right?
Well, usually, I don't know.
I didn't know either, and I was asking the AT&T operator, and she said, no, that doesn't normally happen. So I don't know how many other people got hung up on that. But
yeah, I've never heard the long-distance lines all
busy. Yeah, it was a recorded message.
Unless you're calling Los Angeles and they just had an earthquake.
Right.
Because everybody in the world is calling Los Angeles when they.
Right, and she said that. She said, "Well, unless there's a convention in Tucson or something, I don't know why you're getting that." So
yeah.
I got through though.
Yeah. Well, you don't know who's on those switchboards or what their agenda is.
Okay, Bill. Anyways, appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna let you go.
Appreciate your listening. 520-333-4578 is the number. You know, I just went to a gun show this last weekend in Henderson in Las Vegas. And, you know, it was nice to walk around there. I got a couple of strange looks from a couple of people who thought maybe they recognized me as somebody, but they never said anything or came up. And everybody left me alone. And it was wonderful to be someplace where nobody knew me and just be able to walk around and talk to people as regular old Joe guy and have a lot of fun. But I know something very strange. I was looking for a .44 Magnum rifle to replace the Winchester post 64 44 Magnum that I have that rattles like a bag of marbles when you shake it, and I don't like that. I don't care how good it is. I don't like it when a weapon rattles like a bag of marbles. And there was not one single 44 Magnum rifle in that entire gun show, and it was a big gun show, so I was surprised at that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Wayne Ward calling from Texas.
Hi, Wayne.
Been listening to you for about a year on shortwave and satellite.
Well, good. You got any other people there listening with you?
Sometimes my younger son stops in and he listens, but I record your program.
Uh-huh.
And I pass the tapes around to friends, and had a couple of suggestions for the lady from Alabama that didn't want to look at Chuck Carter while she was listening to you. One would be to patch the output from the satellite receiver into an audio input for the stereo.
Yeah, that's exactly right. She could do that.
Quite often, and don't even turn on the TV. But if for some reason she can't do that, I think on most remotes for the satellite receiver, there's a menu button. If you hold it down, you'll get a screen, and it'll go away if you release the menu button. If you hold it down, a second screen will come on, and it'll stay on.
Well, I didn't know that.
You'll get you'll get a menu on your screen that will stay there until you hit the view button or hit the menu button again to get it to go away.
Uh-huh.
I learned to do that because of one sub-audio program I picked up was forever cutting out, and I couldn't get it straightened out with the satellite people or the broadcaster, and I just stumbled upon that.
Huh.
And,
well, I noticed on our satellite system, when you go to change the audio to pick up the subcarrier, the audio subcarrier, that that screen will stay on there forever.
And mine won't do that.
And unless you press cancel, it'll just stay there forever.
Mine stays on for a while, but eventually it goes off.
Mm.
One question. What do you think about the possibility of George Bush being the next Secretary General of the United Nations?
To tell you the truth, I had not even thought of it, but I will tell you this, that old what's-his-name is not long for that post.
Right.
The Council on Foreign Relations viciously attacked him in Foreign Relations, their journal, not long ago. And whenever they do that, that means curtains for whoever it was. I mean, he's history. That's old Boutros Ghali. One of the reasons he's history is because, you know, he has a record of sexual misconduct, let's put it that way, with his employees in the United Nations. They've kept a very tight lid on that, but it's leaking out slowly but surely.
The reason I thought possibly he might be, I think I heard it mentioned that he would be considered for the next one, but you know, they make a lot of noise about the United States being way behind in the dues and such, and that
maybe that's a way to get the dues paid.
same thing. If they can get an American in there, that might free up a little bit more money coming that way, possibly. I don't know about that.
Well, it'd have to. I mean, it'd be very embarrassing for the Secretary General of the United Nations if his country of origin hadn't paid its dues.
Right about that. I sure would love to see it. I think there's a bill making the rounds in the...
Oh, my God. There's nothing worse in this whole world than if George Bush became the Secretary General of the United Nations and Bob Dole was elected president. I would dig a hole so quick and put my family down in it and cover it up and disappear for 3 years. You wouldn't even know I ever existed. I'd disappear so fast. That's how bad that combination would be.
I agree. Sometime on a future program, I have no complaint with your program. It's all great, but I'm interested in trying to get away from these Federal Reserve notes and start dealing with constitutional money. But it's awfully inconvenient, as I'm sure you're aware. And most people I've tried to talk to about it don't even want to fool with silver coin or gold coin.
Well, that's because they don't understand the value. If they did, they wouldn't hesitate. When somebody comes to me and they offer me a choice between Federal Reserve notes or gold and silver, I'll take gold or... that understand the value of money will give you quite a bit of discount if you'll pay with gold or silver in cash rather than Federal Reserve notes, checks, or any other kind of instruments. So it's a way to actually save money. It's like going to the doctor and you don't have an insurance policy, medical insurance. You get rates much lower than people who have medical insurance. Did you know that?
I know that.
Oh, yeah, when the baby was born, when we went to the hospital, we paid probably one-third what people pay who have insurance.
That's another thing I've toyed with, canceling out the insurance.
Yeah.
I had to take early retirement a few years ago, and limited income, and I see all this, I almost said money, these Federal Reserve notes going out, you know, and not many coming back in. To replace them, and I'm trying to round corners as much as possible, and that has definitely been a...
Well, you have to understand that there are times, for instance, if you started as a young man and you paid your insurance policy for your medical insurance every month for 20 years, and somebody, you know, gets sick, you know, you're still way behind. The only way you make out is if somebody gets a tremendous illness that's going to cost like $500,000 or $1 million to treat. Because over all the years, you're going to pay that much anyway. You're going to pay at least, several hundred thousand dollars over your lifetime on these medical insurance policies. What you're doing is you're betting you won't get sick. They're betting you won't get sick, and you're betting you will. If you don't get sick, you lose. If you do get sick, most illnesses don't require that much money. It's like all the, you know, you get in the mail these policies that says for $2 a month, we'll pay you $2,500 a month. Or if you're in the hospital, if you get sent to the hospital.
I've seen those.
Have you ever known anybody who's ever been in a hospital for a month?
No.
Have you ever known anybody who's been in the hospital for a week?
I've been a time or two. I've been there that long.
But, yeah, but not anymore. This is the thing. See, you didn't used to see those policies before. They're just now coming out because people don't stay in the hospital anymore. They'll run you out. And there comes a certain point where they'll take you out of the hospital and put you in a nursing home. They will not let you stay in a hospital like they used to. A woman giving birth, she's out in 24 hours. Used to be minimum 3 days. Remember that? Not anymore, bud. And so when you buy those policies, you're getting taken for a ride because you're never going to collect any of that money.
Well, I used to sell insurance a long time ago, and so I had a little bit of insight into those specialty policies, so I never bothered with one anyway.
But... Yeah. Well, if you look at the wealth of the insurance companies, you'll see that they're winning the bet. It's like a casino in Las Vegas. People go to Las Vegas thinking they're gonna play the slot machines or blackjack or shoot craps, and they're gonna win a lot of money, and they're just gonna bring down the house and clean out the casino. That ain't gonna happen.
Those in the business to take money, not to give money.
You better believe it. And if anybody ever won, there wouldn't be any casinos and there wouldn't be any Las Vegas.
One other quick question. I'll get off. I know we're getting close to the end of the time. And I just went blank.
Don't feel bad. Happens to me a lot.
It's about the Mexican bailout. I was reading, I think it was in that CFR publication. I picked one up a while back to see what the enemy was doing, and they said that I believe that was the publication. Anyway, I read that Mexico had made a real big payment back to us, interest as well as some principal on that. Is there anything to that?
You said that was in foreign relations?
I was reading in that the other day, and that might have been it.
No, it wasn't in foreign relations, because I get that religiously, and I read every word in it.
Maybe it wasn't that one, and I've read it in something just recently.
You may have, but if you have, I certainly haven't read it or heard of anything like that. And I'll tell you right now, the economy of Mexico would not permit a payment unless it was a very, very small payment, and then they have to kill 500 Mexicans to make that payment.
That was my thoughts, but that's the only place that I've seen it, and I wish now I could remember where I did see it, but just in the last couple of weeks I saw that.
Well, I got to let you go because we're out of time.
Mr. Cooper, keep up the good work. We appreciate you. I got a letter in the mail about the FM transmitter.
Great. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, let me give you the address one more time. Please get a postcard. Tell me what city you're in. You don't have to tell me your name. You don't have to tell me your address or your phone number. This isn't something to trap and find out who's listening to, subversive radio, because this is not subversive. This is real American radio. This supports the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. This is legitimate radio. The rest of it's subversive. And anyway, you don't have to worry about that, because I don't want your name, your address, or your phone number. I just want a postcard telling me what city you're in and how many people listen with you each night to the hour of the time in the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. It's important. Please do that. It is necessary. We need to know where we're at in order to know where we're going and when we get there. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you.
Of a country road, on the wind it comes to call, and it sings in the farms and the factory towns, and where do you think there'd be no song at all? And the words are the words that our fathers heard as they whistled down the years, and the name of the song is the name of a dream, and it's music to our ears. America, America, and the dream goes on. America, America, and the dream goes on. And the words that we read on the courthouse walls are the words that make us free. And the more we remember the way we began, the closer we get to the best we can be. Was there ever a time we forgot his worth, all the struggles and the scars? If we leave to the children a sky full of hope and a flag that's filled with stars. America, America, and the dream goes. Thank you.
have been listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.